You insignificant f***!
Ultra Kill is really, really, really fun. The past few episodes, I've tried to introduce the games by, like, slowly building up to it and easing my way into what I'm talking about, but Ultra Kill has so little preamble that doing that almost feels like a disservice to it. Full disclosure, just like Harot back in episode 1, this game is in early access. What's available now is feature complete, but we don't have all of it yet. Having played what's out right now since day 1, it feels weird to have to call that out because what is here is so polished. Not that the game is pretty in the traditional sense, it's still a New Blood game, so it's still deliberately aping the style of older games. This time the inspiration is games from the original PlayStation, Silent Hill and Crash Bandicoot and stuff like that. There's even a slider in the graphics menu to make the textures all warpy and weird, just like it used to be on that old console. But the game takes this basic premise of forgotten PS1 classic and runs to the moon with it. Each set of levels, all themed after a different layer of hell from Dante's Inferno, is absolutely gorgeous. This praise is gonna sound weird coming from a colorblind person, but the use of color to establish tone is sublime. Each layer has its own distinct musical style too. Here's a couple of my favorites. Now we need to talk about the gameplay, and for that, I feel the need to get an actual subject matter expert. I've been playing the game since day one, but truth be told, it's hard, and I'm bad at it. So I sat down with my buddy Matthew. He's been playing nearly as long as I have, and unlike me, he's actually 100% completed the game on all difficulties. We sat down to chat about the gameplay. We started by talking a bit about his background with the kinds of games that inspired Ultra Kill.
I have checked out, I think, games that are somewhat similar to it, like God of War. They seem mechanically to kind of be the similar. But aside from God of War, no, I have not played them yet.
God of War is a really good comparison tonally. Those old PS2 games were super fast-paced and exciting. But mechanically, I feel like there's a better comparison. Devil May Cry. DMC's also super hard, and its combo and style mechanics are a lot more reminiscent of Ultra Kill's style meter to me. Both games have an arcadey points system that rewards more points for skillful play and lets you spend those points to upgrade your character. The big difference to me is that DMC is mainly a game about sword fights that also happens to have a few guns, and Ultra Kill is a shooter that rewards playing up close and aggressive. Me and Matt spoke a bit about our favorite weapons as well.
I'd have to say the pistol, and the other weapons I use are pretty circumstantial, but I'd have to say the pistol and the grenade launcher ability for the shotgun. I really like the way the pistol feels, especially like the alternative one you get. I just really like the way it feels, honestly. It's slow, but it's heavy hitting. It's very accurate. It's fun to use.
I'm inclined to agree, the revolvers are a delight. The second revolver that you can get right after the tutorial level is actually my favorite gun in the whole game. Its gimmick is that you can press an alt-fire button to throw up a coin, and if you shoot the coin, it ricochets to the nearest target and deals extra damage. I can't think of any analog to that in any other game. It's probably the most unique weapon in the game. The other big standouts to me are the shotguns, because they can teach you about one of Ultra Kill's unique mechanics. If you hit the melee button right before something hits you, you parry it. It gets sent back at whoever shot it at you and deals extra damage. The thing is, you can also parry your own shotgun blasts so they deal extra damage. You punch your bullets so they hurt more. It's more than a little ridiculous, but it's fun. With weapons like this, you need stuff to kill with them, and Ultra Kill has some insanely fun boss fights. I asked Matt about his favorite.
Oh, I think that would have to be... I think just due to... Nostalgia is not the best word, but just due to kind of like the... Yeah, screw it, I'm just going to say nostalgia. The first time you fight a reoccurring boss called V2, which seems to be a very similar kind of character as the main character you play as, that still really sticks out to me, because even though now I kind of know how to fight him, when he's introduced, it's a whole new dimension to the game. Like, every other enemy you fought has been... If they've been fast, they've been fast with the only, like, combat style they know is to just run at you. But all the other enemies you fought, they've been either stationary or really slow. This guy is jumping around the arena, he's doing slides, he's pretty much flying through the air. It took me quite a long time to be able to beat him, and it really redefined how I had to play the game. Like, I had to be able to fight enemies like him. To this day, it still sticks out to me. And any other boss that kind of does the same thing, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, this is like that time where you fight V2.
V2 is a good pick. They fight like you do, and they have the same kinds of guns as you, so it's an interesting challenge. The first time you fight V2 is one of the most memorable levels in the game to me because of the music, Claude Debussy's Clair de Lune. Hearing classical piano music as you explore a deserted and dilapidated mansion in the build-up to the fight establishes a kind of eerie atmosphere. The rest of the game doesn't really have it.
Foolishness, machine! Foolishness!
For my money, though, the best boss is Gabriel, the final boss that was available at launch. He's an angel that speaks in actual plain English, and is voiced by Ottawa resident Gianni Matragrano, teleports all around the arena, and hits like a freight train. The first time I played his fight, it took me more than an hour and more than 100 attempts to beat him. One of the most fun bosses I've ever had the pleasure of experiencing. While I was writing the script for this episode, the game actually got a big update that added a few new levels, the next layer of hell, Greed. I sat down again with Matt to ask his thoughts on the new levels.
Oh, I'm trying to think of a time where I yelled.
You can curse. You can curse. You're allowed to curse. I can hear you trying not to curse.
I'm trying to think of a time I've gotten as fucking angry as when I've been going through those levels, because I've gotten the P ratings on all four. And I've screamed. They are incredibly tough. It's a really, but without getting into like the actual combat for a second, it's really interesting how they're expanding like the story of the game and their depiction of the different layers of hell. Like, when you think about hell, you think of like, you know, either a dungeon or a big pit of fire, but it seems like, I don't know, it seems like each layer has its own kind of ecology, like its own culture. Greed, for instance, it seems to be, you know, set in a scorching desert in the most inhospitable working conditions you can imagine. And it seems like the enemies you're fighting, you know, before the layer collapsed, due to reasons I'm not going to get into, it seems like they were outfitted to be doing a lot of manual labor. And I find the game very inventive. I really do. And I found this layer has really pushed forward the standard for how in-depth and just oozing with detail the levels are going to be from here on out. And also with how difficult the levels are going to be, because holy shit.
I'm inclined to agree. Greed's ancient Egypt-inspired look and feel is stunning, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the rest of the game has in store now that I've played it. I'm not going to spoil everything here, though. Go play it. It's fun. Ultra Kill deserves more praise than I really feel I can give it here. I don't necessarily know that I'd call it the best game I've ever played. There's probably an argument to be made that it needs more narrative, and it's not done yet, so I can't comment on the parts I haven't played. What I will say is that right now it's $22 Canadian on Steam, and if it had literally half the content it has right now, it would still be a steal at that price for how fun it is. Next time we're going to talk about a game that goes even further to evoke that old school feeling and see how it came to be after a troubled development cycle. Thanks for listening. Dead Simple is written, narrated, and produced by Steve Berard. Music courtesy of Alibi Music, We Star Music, and New Blood Entertainment.